Welcome to this message from Shofar Christian Church. May you experience God's grace as you listen to this word being preached.
So wonderful to have you all here this afternoon. Just tell someone here to you, it's awesome to see you. It's wonderful to be back again. We had a wonderful holiday. A week off, it was awesome, but there's no place like Bloom, no place like home. I hope you guys had an awesome service last week. Apparently, Henny preached the gospel again, like he always does. That's awesome. I just want to share a little bit of sort of what happened last Wednesday night, but also just share a little bit of a word. I don't want to share too much because I really want to share the testimony with many more people. Not many are away today, so I'm not going to actually share too much because it'll just be repeated next week in the coming weeks. So. But I just want to quickly share some thoughts, and then we're going to pray for each other and just for our nation and just for the church in general. So I've entitled my message, The Glory of Suffering. And my scripture is from Romans chapter 8. So you can turn with me to Romans chapter 8, 16 to 19. Just a real short message that I trust that will bless you and will empower you to just keep going, to keep on keeping on. Like Anka said, sometimes we have to just praise the Lord even when the fig tree is not blossoming or there's no fruit on the vine or anything. We need to praise God in tough times. Amen. But guess what, guys? We haven't been called to have an easy life. Eh? If we thought Christianity was an easy, comfortable life, then we have a right to be offended with whoever told us that. And with God, if that's what we thought God said. God never called us to have an easy life. So, in Romans chapter 8, it says, from verse 16 to 19, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Before I carry on, by the way, are there anyone visiting us for the first time this afternoon? I don't see anyone. But welcome to everyone else. It's wonderful to have you here. Just wanted to check if you want our new visitors. So we're going to really pray as a church. I believe most of you have been to our church a couple of times now, so you understand where we are and what we stand for. So the Bible says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, joint heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. But then there's a big if here. Who wants to be an heir of God? Who wants to be a child of God? Who is a child of God? Who is an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ? Amen. But it says here, there's a big if here, which sometimes we don't like to quote the scripture on our motivational, you know, scripture for the week kind of scriptures, right? This is definitely not something we'll put up on our fridge and motivate ourselves every day. But it says the following, it says, if we are children of God, then indeed we need to suffer with Him. Can I have an amen? Not everyone's going to say amen on that. If indeed we suffer with Him, it says, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. You see, suffering is something that, and I can be honest today, I cannot preach on suffering because I don't think I've suffered in my life like the Apostle Paul did or like many Christians have done for the sake of the gospel. So I definitely don't say that I've had this waxed and sorted because I don't handle suffering too well. Ask my wife, even when I'm a little bit sick, it's like the end of the world. But I must say, last Wednesday night, I had a bit of a glimpse of what the persecuted church must face every single day of their lives when they get together. So I think, I don't know if there's anyone that doesn't know what happened last Wednesday night, anyone here? I trust that you did receive the message of what happened. So, yeah, it was a hectic experience for all of us that were there. But I asked the Lord that I went to go see someone that next evening, because we were leaving on holiday for Friday, so a lady who was in our church, a brilliant counselor, and just someone who really walks in the spirit. She's a bit older, got more life experience than me. But she just said to me that night, she messaged me, she said, I want to pray for you and anoint you. And I knew this was my opportunity to just go see someone and just debrief a little bit about what happened. So I went to see her last Thursday afternoon, just before we left. And it was just such an amazing time with the Lord, because she's got this way of just making you hear from God. She doesn't tell you what God is saying. She says, you must hear what God is saying to you. And she just created this environment where God could speak. And God spoke to me, because that day I was so rushed. I was trying to just sort out all the stuff for the police and just get our holiday prep going. And our car had to be, have a new battery. And it was just a crazy day. Literally, I received about 20 or 30 phone calls of people concerned, are we okay, and all of that. So it was a hectic day. I was really drained, but I was so refreshed when I walked out of her room there, or her office, where we just had a great time with the Lord together. And the Lord showed me two things, because she said to me, she said, I want you to ask the Lord where he was and why all of this happened. And the Lord showed me two things, and he said, number one, that I want your faith to be tested. I want you to be refined. That's the one reason why he allowed it to happen. And the second reason why he allowed it to happen was, I believe, God saying that he wants me to see and us to maybe experience just what the persecuted church is going through literally every day. That they are killed, some of them, for their faith. And so I believe, I think this thing of suffering, sometimes we just think it's not part of the gospel, because the gospel is supposed to be good news. And it is good news. But God wants us to understand that the suffering of this world is nothing compared to what's to come. There's glory in suffering. Tell someone next to you, there's glory in suffering. And it's not like we suffered seriously, but I can tell you it was seriously tense. I've never prayed like that in my life before. Because I thought, you know, when we had to lie down on the floor, the Lord really gave me a word. He said to me, it's going to be fine. But like in that moment, you really realize, like, is this really God, or is it me just hoping things are going to be fine, or did he really say it's going to be fine? Because in that moment, nothing looked fine. Ask everyone who was there. So we're lying on the floor here, and I know now we are interceding. Like, there's nothing like that to kickstart a prayer meeting. Like, nothing like a bit of a challenge to kickstart a prayer meeting. And then like I stood up basically. Then he said to me, I have to stand up. And we're facing there. I'm looking at this drum shield. I can't even see the reflection in it. I don't know why I didn't. I was just like really praying. And then he told me to stand up. And I had this like cold feeling just going through my body. And I thought, this is me. I'm gonna take one for the Lord. Like, and yeah, my son is in the meeting and my family's at home, and I'm thinking, like, I'm okay to die. I want to be with Jesus, you know, like, it's the best thing, but I'm not okay with my family. My family's still here. It won't be okay for them. But in that moment, I had incredible peace as well, because it was just that moment of the Lord just saying he's close to me. He's like, he's right there. It's okay. But I thought, is it okay for the other people, or is it also okay for me? And like, I seriously doubted the Lord's word. But it was an amazing time, to be honest, because if I look back on it, I'm so glad it happened, because it just boosted my faith in a great degree, and I hope it did so for some of you who were there at least. But it's really a time of challenge and a time of a little bit of suffering, where you just realize, here, this is what people are facing every single day. They have to meet underground, because if they meet like this, they'll be taken out. Philippians 1, Paul writes to the church in Philippi, and he says, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And I believe God is really calling us sometimes to lay down our lives and to be prepared to suffer for the gospel. Having that same conflict which he saw in me and now here is in me. And I'm not talking about suffering, because we sometimes suffer because of our wrong choices. I'm not talking about the wrong choices we make. There we have to repent and say, Lord, help me. Yes, I'm going to have the consequences of this. But this is not the suffering Paul is primarily talking about. So if you're suffering because of wrong choices you make, then God will forgive you if you repent, and he will take you through it, and he will restore. But Paul is primarily talking about the suffering for preaching the gospel, the suffering for living a Christian life, living a life different from the world. So suffering is important for us. And he says here in 2 Corinthians 4, another scripture on suffering, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God wants us to start to have a heavenly perspective. Amen. And there's nothing like that near-death experience to help you realize, hey, like, you know, life isn't all there is. This life is definitely not all there is. Life is about heaven one day. Action. And that's why suffering is so important. So I've got three things here which I just want you to remember after today is, why do we suffer? Why is it important to indeed suffer for the gospel? Number one, suffering is part of the gospel. The gospel is not nice. The gospel, there was bloodshed on the cross, right? So and it's not like we have to die. It's not like we have to crucify ourselves and die on the cross again, because Jesus did that for us. We don't have to die for our sins again. But Jesus did die for us, so that it can be an example of laying down our lives where it's not going to be easy. So suffering is part of the gospel. The gospel is not just a gospel where everything is nice and everything is fine. Jesus did say in his word, this world will be full of tribulation. You will have persecution. You will have suffering. So suffering, number one, is part of the gospel. And if you've heard a gospel where there isn't suffering at all, then you're deceived. It's not the true gospel. The gospel is a gospel where suffering is part of it. The first church understood that. And they actually had joy in suffering. Second thing, I believe suffering is necessary. Amen. Why? Because it refines us. It's necessary because it purifies our hearts, it refines our faith, and it really tests us. Suffering is indeed necessary for us to be changed into the image of the glory of God. And then lastly, why do we suffer? Suffering leads us to the glory of God. Suffering brings about the glory in us if we allow it. If we don't get hard, don't get offended, don't get bitter towards people or towards ourselves or towards God. But true suffering leads to glory. And Paul says here that this light affliction is just for a moment, is working in us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. And in Romans 8, he says that the creation is eagerly awaiting for the revealing of the sons of God, this glory that must needs to be revealed in us. So I want us just to consider these thoughts today, and I want us to take communion right now. So Taser, you guys can hand out the communion elements if you wouldn't mind, please. And then we're gonna pray for each other, and just for especially what happened. I believe God also wants us today to just almost as a church deal with what happened last Wednesday night and say to God, we embrace just you allowing it. And so what also happened that night when I was, or that afternoon when I was with Teresa, the counselor, and she asked me to ask Jesus where he was. And I actually saw a picture of, she said to me, so ask him to show you a place of peace, just a place where you can just be and just chill and just be with him. And so he showed me a picture of me like sitting in the corner of this room, somewhere there at the back, just like worshipping him, just being at so much peace. And then he showed me that he was there, and then she said to me, okay, so ask the Lord to show you where he was. You're in this amazing place of peace, you're ready, all, and I wasn't trying to see myself in this venue, I was trying to see myself not in this venue, but the Lord kept saying, you're in this venue at peace. And it wasn't only for that night, it's just but for the church. It's almost for leading this church. It's like he's in control. I can also just enjoy it. I can just sit and worship him. It was so cool. Then he said, show me, or ask him to show you where he was, Jesus. And I saw this massive army guy standing at that door. Right there the whole time. Like he had all the armor, all the kit on, he can kill whoever comes in. And I saw him, this amazing big figure, the commander of the Lord's army, standing at the door, in control. And I remember when that guy walked in, he was so flustered. Everyone, I don't know if Boots will remember, because he was looking back. Everyone else was looking at me, but I could see, and I was carrying on teaching and talking, and this guy's moving up and up, and I could see he was so flustered. to come into this place, because I think he realized this is holy ground. Like, is he, and I'm sure in his mind he was like thinking, must I do this or not? Must I like actually go in here? Must I steal from these people? I'm sure those thoughts were going through his mind. And I believe he encountered the army, the commander of the Lord's army, Jesus himself, at the door, just standing there. But obviously allowing it to refine us. And to lose a laptop and 8 cell phones, we'll take that for our faith. We'll take it to be refined. In fact, we'll take the devil can take more if it's going to increase our faith, seriously. But he got away with what he got away with. But I'm just thankful that the commander of the Lord's armies is here with us in our church. He's leading our church, he's in control. And sometimes we like Joshua, we like say to him, like, Lord, are you for us or against us? He just says, no, I'm the commander of the armies. And that just gave me so much peace and so much reassurance that God is with us, God is protecting us, God is with you in your life, wherever you are, Lord. Whatever you're going through, he's with you. He wants to stand at the door of your heart, stand at the door of your house, of your workplace, wherever, as the commander of the army. And he will allow us sometimes to go through a few challenges just in order for our faith to grow, in order for us to produce the glory that he wants to produce in us. So I could share a little bit more, and I will share more in the coming times, but I was just afterwards just so like, sure, Lord, thank you. It wasn't nice, but refined me even more. So whatever you've got to do to just make me more like you. And I want us now to pray, to take communion, and to pray for 3 things. So I want you to find someone that you can pray with, or a group that you can pray with. And I want us to, as a church, actually to just pray for courage and endurance, number one, for each other. This year hasn't been a nice year. It hasn't been easy. It's been like probably, maybe everyone will say it's like the worst year ever. You know, like, you had some bad years in the past, but 2020 is like way past. You know. But I don't think we must speak that over 2020. I think we must say, Lord, thank you for the amazing year that it's been. Thank you for the refining fire. Thank you, Lord, for COVID. Thank you for, because just as what happened here a while ago, so COVID, God was there. He's standing at the door of this earth and he's allowing this stuff. Nothing shakes him. He doesn't want it to happen, but he wants us to be one of him. That's his purpose. So let's pray in this time for each other. Let's really intercede for each other. Let's pray for courage and endurance for each other. And let's just release that guy. Let's pray for forgiveness over that guy. And let's say, Lord, thank you for using him. Thank you that he came here and bless his soul, Lord. Let him please get to salvation before hell comes, before he's going to end in hell. Let's pray for his salvation. Let's really forgive him. Let's thank the Lord for using him. But let's ask the Lord to stop this thing, because we were the second church, 3 churches in Bloemfontein had that happen to them. The 2 nights before us, in Gekker, Langenhoven Park, got broken into, and literally last Tuesday, or this past Tuesday, the Roy Gap, this church just near to our house, also had prayer meeting Tuesday night, same thing happened. Cell phones were stolen. So let's really pray that God stops this thing, that the devil's works and his advancement will not only cause us to suffer, like, and allow us to grow, but it will stop, okay? God will allow certain things, but let's also pray that this stuff will stop, that the devil will stop stealing and killing and destroying from people. But if we have to suffer for the gospel, we'll suffer for the gospel. Let's not be bitter and hard towards what happened, because God will use everything for the good of those who love him. Romans 8, verse 28. The scripture just after this passage here, you can read on, it says, the Spirit helps us to pray. That's why it's important to pray in the Spirit. And it says, for God will work all things for the good, for those who love. So let's pray for courage and endurance for all of us, and for those who were there to forgive that guy, to really ask the Lord to help you not to be angry. And I know it's not easy. I'm not saying it's just something you get over, but I'm saying let's pray for freedom from anger, bitterness, resentment. Let's forgive soon. Amen. As quickly as you can. But tonight, as a church, we're going to say, Lord, we release this guy. We release him actually to get saved. And to come to, and you might have to you know, go to jail if he gets caught or whatever, but he must come to salvation. That's his ultimate goal. That's God's desire for him. And let's pray that this thing will stop and that these type of people will come to salvation. Let's pray for that. And then secondly, let's pray for the church, for protection in Bloemfontein and in South Africa. But let's pray for an awakening for the church, amen, to really preach the gospel, to go out and live the good news of Christ. And then, guys, as I said, the second thing the Lord showed me was what some people experience every day, some Christians. Let's pray for the persecuted church. Let's forget, or not forget, that we are actually, we have life quite comfortably as believers in South Africa. Might not always be like that. But let's pray for the persecuted church. Let's pray for those who are actually losing their lives daily because of the gospel. Let's really intercede for them. And let's, I want to end off tonight and just say, let's keep pursuing our Father in heaven. He loves us so much. He really loves us, guys. And I tell you, he will allow certain things, he will not allow certain things. He is in so much control. Let's really pray for freedom. Let's seek him with all our hearts.